Hey everyone, and welcome to The Shanty Show, the show about shanties. On today's show, our guest is someone we first met back in 2016 at the Bedijp Festival in the north of the Netherlands in a little town called Appingedam. It's John Darley from The Longest Johns. Now, they've had a whirlwind couple of years. They've charted in the UK. They've just wrapped up their first ever tour, concluding that earlier in May in Bristol. And we get to talk to them about all of that and what their real ride of success lately has been like. It's a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it.
Tell me where.
Oh, the times were hard and the wages are low.
Leave her, Johnny, leave her.
I guess it's time for us to go,
and it's time for us to leave her.
Beware these packet ships, I say.
Leave her, Johnny, leave her.
They'll steal your stores and your clothes away,
and it's time for us to leave her. Leave her, Johnny, leave her. Oh, leave her, Johnny, leave her. For the voyage is done and the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leave her.
There's Liverpool Pat in his tarpaulin hat.
Leave her, Johnny, leave her.
And Yankee John, the pocket rat.
And it's time for us to leave her.
She would not wear and she would not stay.
Leave her, Johnny, leave her.
She shipped great seas both night and day.
And it's time for us to leave her.
Leave her,
leave her, Johnny, leave her. Oh, leave her, Johnny, leave her. For the voyage is done and the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leave her.
It's rotten beef and weevily bread.
Leave her, Johnny, leave her.
It was pump or drown, the old man said.
And it's time for us to leave her.
The sail's all furled, our work is done.
Leave her, Johnny, leave her.
And now ashore we'll take our rum.
And it's time for us to leave her.
Leave her,
leave her, Johnny, leave her. Oh, leave her, Johnny, leave her. For the voyage is done and the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leave her. Leave her, Johnny, leave her. Oh, leave her, Johnny, leave her. For the voyage is done and the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leave her.
Yeah.
Messed up.
John, great to have you here. It's been years since we last saw you. A few things have happened since 2016 at the Bedijp Festival. I wanted to go back maybe just before everything went crazy for you in January of 2020. Because you were already doing some amazing things with The Longest Johns to connect with folks in, I think, some pretty untraditional ways for a shanty band, whether that's your Discord site or some of the live streaming that you were doing on YouTube. But, you know, I think by that point you'd already had your own little bit of viral success as well with your own version of Wellerman. But take me kind of to like December 2020, you've just done the Leave Her, Johnny, Leave Her community video. What's it like for you then? What are you thinking about as a band? What's next? What were your plans before everything went crazy?
Yeah, for sure. So it'd been quite an interesting ride for us for quite a while. So we, quite a few years before, decided to make a really big concerted effort to try and reach more people online and embrace kind of a bit more of our own personal identity as well. So we love sea shanties and we love folk music and all that sort of stuff, but we're also really big gamers and nerds, as is, you know, common. And so we started trying to embrace a little bit more of that and try and get a bit more into the online culture. So really for us, things properly started in April 2018. So I'd say that's kind of the start of the really big journey, where that was the first time we recorded and released a video in Sea of Thieves. Again, combining gaming and the music that we love together. And we did the song Randy Dandio.
I'm with us, guy. Doing a screw.
We're outward bound for Valipo Bay.
Is that a call?
Way, hey, roll and go.
Get cracking, me lads, tis a
hell of a way
to be rollicking
Randy Dandio. Heave a pole and heave away. Way, hey, roll and go. The anchor's on board and the cables are stored
to me.
Rollickin' Randy Dandy.
No. Stay with us. I'll give you some chests and take you to your ship.
And it was actually a few months after that that we released the album Between Wind and Water, which had Wellerman on. And at the time, that was just any other song. Randy Dandio was like the one that we were always getting asked to do and everything. So it was definitely a transition that happened later on. But we didn't really know entirely what to do off the back of that, because we didn't, at that point, want to lean too hard into the gaming. We still wanted to really solidify our identity as a band first. So it took us another kind of year and a bit or so on to kind of find the ground that we wanted to. And in August 2019 was when we first started making weekly YouTube videos. And for us, that was the really big kind of changing turning point, where we kind of built up enough of a back catalogue. We decided what we were going to do. We had a plan of action, and we went for it. And I think we've only missed 1 week in all that time ever since. So we're pretty decent record. We have like a 4 week rolling schedule, which might be changing at some point soon, but we'll see. So the plan that we had then was we had a gaming video, so something where we sing and play a game at the same time, a music video, some form of like behind the scenes vlog or like travel journal, that sort of thing, or something a bit more fun and relaxed either way, and then a live stream. So every 4 weeks we kind of rotate through that plan. But the first video that we put out when we were doing that was a series that we call Open Cruising, where we join random open crews in Sea of Thieves and surprise them and sing songs at them. And the first one that we put out was with Wellerman.
Would you like me to sing you a song?
Can we sing you a song? Can I sing you a song?
Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
you do, don't you?
There once was a ship that put to sea, and the name of that ship was the Billy of Tea. The winds blew hard, about it down, blow it, bully boys, blow.
Soon may the Wellerman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
I don't know, I have no idea what's going on right now.
I don't either, just go with it.
So... this is all leading up to 2020, by the way. So for us, that video did super, super well. It's amazing to see people embrace it. And then for us, every few months or so, it seemed like it would suddenly just explode on the internet again on its own. Like we put that video out, we're like, this is great. We didn't really know very much about how to use like TikTok and other stuff at that point, really. So we just put the YouTube video out, but other people started singing it all the time on TikTok and using it in the backgrounds of like making memes and stuff like that. There's some funny ones of like some guy singing in the shower and then his roommate pops his head around the corner and they start singing it, and then other people in the flat come in and it's all that sort of thing. So this was going on, and every couple of months or so it seemed like another one of these would pop up and our listener base would just double overnight, and we'd all just be like, whoa, mind blown, this is crazy, I can't believe this has happened, we've got this many people listening to us. But this kept happening. Like every 2 months or 2 or 3 months, it was like TikTok first, then it popped up on Reddit, and then Tumblr, iFunny, and every time it just like doubled everyone that was listening to us. So we were just living in this weird state of, I can't believe this has happened kind of thing. So then roll up to December 2020, we've been stuck indoors for kind of most of the year sort of thing. We ducked out a little bit in the summer to record a couple of videos and whatnot. The pandemic was definitely a sort of door opener for us in some ways, because there were a lot of things that we'd decided we weren't going to do because they were delving too far into losing the identity of the band first. But we hit this point of like, well, we can't get together. There's only so much we can do. We want to keep making stuff and getting things out in front of people. So let's push the boat out a bit and let's just play games and see how that goes. And let's record some songs that we wouldn't otherwise do. And we'll try some other weird things. And it was amazing to see the kind of response and stuff people had behind that. And again, with all this rolling on behind the scenes, it hit to December 2020 and we were at this point of like, right, we're going to double down. We'd been planning come January 2021 to up our YouTube videos to 2 a week. So that was the big thing in our mind at that point. It was like, right, we're going to double down. We're going to get 2 a week. And then suddenly, bam, slap in the face. Everything explodes beyond our wildest dreams. And suddenly everyone's hearing Wellerman and singing it and doing covers and stuff like that. And our phone starts ringing. So our listener base again doubles. And we're like, oh, this is cool. This happened again. That's nice. But then the phone starts ringing from all of these record labels and managers and agents and stuff like that. People trying to buy a piece of it. And we're just like, I think something's changed here. And that was it.
Was that the first clue? Like the... Hang on a minute. People are actually interested, not just in this thing that's going on, but in us specifically.
Yeah, pretty much. So it was bizarre. I mean, for us, I mean, Wellerman at that point had already had like tens of millions of listens and plays and stuff like that over the internet for us. And so we was like, this is amazing. And suddenly, the phone starts ringing and it's like all these news agencies and stuff like that trying to get interviews and whatnot. And like, okay, this is different. And we had no idea what we were doing. So trying to navigate those waters was interesting, but we were very, very lucky because of another band, actually, Fisherman's Friends, who people might have heard of from the movie that came out recently, and were also a massive, massive inspiration in us starting in the first place as well. I had the pleasure of touring with them, replacing one of their singers who'd fallen ill a few years before, and I'd met their manager. And absolutely lovely fellow. And he phoned me up basically saying, are you okay? Do you need some help? And we were just like, yes, please help us. And he basically helped us navigate all of the stuff and helped us make the decisions that we did, which seemed to be working great. Because, yeah, we've had a great album out and wonderful tours and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Brilliant. So what were some of the biggest surprises as it started to take shape for you sort of early on, like some of the stuff that, you know, you didn't expect, but were kind of either pleased or horrified to find out?
I mean, to be fair, there's a weird middle ground with the expectation because we never expected it to do exactly what it did, but I always had like a weird sneaking suspicion. If that makes sense. Hmm. So, because we've been going for 10 years now, in like a month's time, we've been singing for 10 years. And I think it was all the way back 8 or 9 years ago, we sung a gig supporting a kind of quite cheesy pop artist. And she was a really close friend of the band and invited us to come and sing support and stuff like that. And we thought, oh, we'll do it. It'd be a bit funny. But all of our audience were like younger, kind of teenage girls sort of thing. So we go out thinking this is going to be a train wreck, but we're going to go out and sing and have some fun. And we did. We walked out, we started singing the first song and they were like, this is weird. And everyone kind of looked around awkwardly and that sort of stuff. But by the end of that first song, everyone there was dead silent, listening, flapping their hands, stamping their feet, singing along and everything. And it was a really, really great show. And these were like really younger people who had no interest in this music at all. And for me, that was the first nugget of like, this music's really great and it really connects with people and speaks to people even now, even to people you wouldn't ever expect it, but these people have never heard it and experienced it before. So that was that first kind of nugget of like, there's something more here than people expect and give it credit for. So to see it get to that point, again, expect it, no, but inkling that it could happen, yes. And that was, again, one of the great things about seeing it grow so much over the years prior with all the YouTube stuff and everything that we've been doing as well. So, yeah, everything blew my mind, but it was with that kind of validation, I guess, is the right word.
And that's one of the things I think has been really sort of enjoyable for us to watch as you've experienced all the success that you had. You know, back to a comment you made earlier about being able to reach new audiences or folks who otherwise might not be able to encounter this type of music. We just did a sing-around type thing at a brewery last Sunday, and some of the folks who were there were from one of the local universities, younger guys, and I got to chatting with one of them named Nick, and he was saying, all that drives him, he's like, people don't sing together anymore, and I want people to sing together, because it means something to me, and it clearly means something to you, and that just really stuck with me, that, that this type of music, the music that you make, shanties more broadly, and folk music more broad than that, is just such, can be such a welcoming, easy thing if you could just get people over that one hurdle of just joining the chorus.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that was definitely the best thing to see come out of all the TikTok stuff. Seeing people actually kind of take part themselves and join in and add to creating this kind of big, massive sound. And it's something that we'd tried as well, and have done a couple of times, and still some of the, to be honest, the proudest things that we've made, or things that I'm most proud of that we've made. So you mentioned the Leva Johnny video, so like the song. I'd had that idea for quite a while, and we kind of not really known how to do it or execute it and stuff like that. And then when the pandemic hit, it was like, right, if there's ever a time to try and do this, we'll do it now. So the plan was to try and get as many people from our fan base as possible to just sing along with the song and the video, because again, we've been doing this for almost 10 years, and the thing that's kept us going, because there's not a limitless repertoire of songs and stuff out there, the thing that's really kept us going is that community. So it's meeting bands and people like yourselves who sing, and you can come together and meet people you've never met before and sing together until 5 a.m, like we did many times in Bedipe, and just have a wonderful time. And it's that kind of special connection that makes it so good. And we wanted to try and capture a little bit of that, especially with everything going on with the pandemic. It was like, if we're going to do it, we'd do it now. And I was hoping for about 100 people. I think we got like 650, something like that. I try to remember now. The numbers, it might be lower than that, actually. It might be a bit lower than that, because I know the other one got significantly higher, and there's a 6 and a 5 in there. But anyway, and so we were like, crikey, how on earth are we going to handle this? We got all these video files from everyone, and every single person that submitted is in that. And it's one of the best videos I think we've ever done, because it's just us kind of singing the song a little bit in the middle, and then it's just like, and here's everyone else that joined in.
Oh, the times were hard and the wages low.
Lieber Johnny, lieber,
I guess it's time for us to go.
And it's time for us to leave her.
Beware these packet ships, I say.
Lieber Johnny, lieber,
they'll steal your stores and your clothes away.
And it's time for us to leave her. Lieber Johnny, lieber,
oh,
lieber Johnny, lieber, for the voyage is done and the winds don't blow, and it's time for us to leave her.
And it's really emotional, like just seeing and experiencing that. And that's what makes the festivals and the shows and stuff so good. It's not just like, as much as I love getting up on a stage and putting on a good show and entertaining people, it's the fact that people come and they sing with you. And it's more than just me putting on a show. It's like, no, we're all doing this together. And to be able to capture a little bit of that online was really, really special. And I still think, out of all of the Wellerman stuff that happened as well, because we got approached to do all sorts of things. And I think, unfortunately, it kind of took a bit of a funny turn. Like, there seemed like there's a real opportunity there for people to start to experience a bit more of that stuff that makes it special, and the kind of wider world of shanties and everything else like that as well. But it very quickly kind of took this odd turn of like going down, now we're going to make an advert that's rewritten the words for this song. And we were getting approached by all sorts of places to try and do that. And it took a couple of kind of chin strokey moments and just be like, this doesn't feel right. This is going in a direction we don't want to be a part of. And so we very quickly kind of backed away off it. But the one thing that we did do was another community video where we thought, people are resonating with the song. They're enjoying it. Let's make something that's going to be like our final stamp on what this is for us and what it actually means for us. And so we did another one of these with Wellerman, and we got over 6,500 people from all around the world again, every single video that came in, every single audio track is in that video. And it's amazing. And yeah, that for me is what makes it all so special.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go.
Did you find that as you were, because you've just finished your UK tour, I think you were over this side of the pond before that, and from what I could tell from some of the clips that popped up on Twitter and elsewhere, like, you got crowds that were that came to sing, which was pretty cool to see. So how was that tour? Is this like, this must be the biggest tour you've done?
Yeah, for sure. So we've done tons of shows before, but we've never really toured before. We were going to be doing our first tour in 2020. We kind of booked all that. We're just recording a new album sort of thing, booking the tour. Obviously didn't happen. That album just kind of, it came out and no one was around to hear it. But so it's actually quite fun now because we get to do the tour for that album and for this one all combined. So it's really good fun. But it's definitely another level and a half. Because getting to do festivals is great. Getting to do shanty festivals is amazing because everyone knows all the songs anyway. But with our shows, it's been another level of incredible to experience for me. Just because, yeah, everyone not only knows all the traditional songs, they know all of the other songs and they all the silly bits and stuff like that we do on the streams. And there's so many like jokes and stuff people shout out. Like there's a big joke that came out of one of the streams where we attempted to sing a song. It went okay, not very good. We hadn't done it in a long time. It was like, oh, that was adequate. And suddenly everyone in chat started typing, adequate. And it then became a thing of like, oh gosh, can you imagine when we start touring again, everyone's going to get to the end of a song and everyone will be like, adequate. So now we get that at the end of songs and stuff like that. And it's amazing.
Every single album review from now on. Yeah.
I would love that. That would be amazing. If someone reviewed our albums as adequate, I would know they're there and they're one of us. But yeah, so kind of experiencing that level of just like connection with the audience is so special. And again, like even some of the harder songs and weirder songs, stuff like that, just hearing everyone sing back at you is magic. And for me, just as important as that is after every single show, we always go out and hang out with people. We will make a point of, we want, this isn't just like us with these magical, mystical people on the stage. We're going to go up and do a big show and then leave. And there you are. I hope you had a nice time. But like, for us, it is that community connection, and it's these real people that are actually coming and hearing some of the stories of like how our music has affected people's lives. It's just like, it never gets old and it's always special. So yeah, after every single show and all the tour, both the tours so far, yeah, we've always come out and hung out with people and had a chat, taken pictures, signed stuff, all that jazz. And that's just as special for me as getting to do a show.
Feels like it's adding to the already sort of interactive nature of the folk music and especially the Absolutely. Shanties with the call and answer kind of thing. And I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts. Why do you think Weatherman took off of all the songs? You know, it's got a great chorus. Yeah. But I'd say like Randy Dandio was sort of the hit of the album, if you will, or something. So what are your thoughts on why that one took off more so than other songs?
There's definitely something great in the song. I mean, the song is really good, but there's also lots of other good songs, as you say. So controversially, I feel like it could have happened to quite a few different songs and could still happen again in the future as well. Like, I mean, anyone who's spent time around on Reddit and stuff like that knows for a long time, there was always a point every single year where either the video of David Coffin or John Bromley singing would always go viral. There was always this undercurrent of like, sea shanties are, they're big, they could do it. And those are two really big songs. They could have bust out into all sorts of other places. But there wasn't like that other stuff there for people to find at the time. It was, you can experience that. And that was kind of it and done. And that's where, again, what we wanted to do was try and create more of a thing. And I think it was, to some degree, luck, because you can, like I was saying before, you can trace it back to that Open Cruising video. And it was a great idea. It was came up with my brother, of like what to do in Sea of Thieves and stuff like that. And he came up with a great pun name, which I'm still proud of. And it made a really great video and a really great clip, and it's a great song. And it's just like this coming together of all this perfect stuff, which connected with people. And it started that spark, and it didn't start off big. It started off, you know, decent, but it wasn't anything like where it was going to go. But it started something which then caught people's attention. And it did a little bubble, and then it kind of simmered down a little bit, and then suddenly it popped up again. And, and every single time it's bursting bigger and bigger as more people discover it and like realize it's really cool, to the point where suddenly everybody already knows it and they're singing it on TikTok. So I do truly believe it could happen again, and I believe it could happen with other songs. And as much as it is a really, really special song, and like there's a great story there, and there's this kind of this feeling of being on the ocean and this kind of mythical parts to it and stuff like that as well. I do think it could happen with other ones too.
Yeah, it occurs to me that some people who will listen to this might not know what Sea of Thieves is or what... what this open cruising thing might like.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to detach myself from it for a second and be like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. What is happening here?
Yeah, sure. So Sea of Thieves is a computer game on Xbox and PC where you are a pirate and you are manning a ship with several other crewmates, and you're basically just kind of open world simulator. You're sailing around between islands, you're digging up treasure, fighting skeletons, and also fighting other players, if you wish, and stealing all of their stuff, as pirates are wont to do. And that's the kind of basic premise of the game. So our original video was kind of with Randy Dandio. We just kind of played the game, and we went out and we met some random people out on the sea. And again, normally you'd go up and fight people and steal their stuff. We were like, hey, no, let's not fight. We want to sing you a song. And that was the kind of gimmick of that video. It was like, you know, you go out on the Sea of Thieves, it's kill or be killed, but, or you can just sing. And then open cruising. So if you want to join with a group of friends, you can start a closed crew and it's just your friends come on the ship and you go off and have your adventures and all that jazz. Or if you've not got anyone to play with, but you still want to play the game, you can join an open crew where it pairs you or groups you up with a group of random people who are also trying to just find some random people and have some fun on the seas. So the idea with open cruising is we are cruising around lots of different open crews and be like, hey, look, we're pirates too. Let's go have some fun adventures on the sea. Oh, this puts me in the mood for a song. Ta-da! And then they're like, whoa, how did you do that? That's really cool. And you get some like really fun reactions and stuff like that. It's been a lot more interesting doing it recently because lots of people who play the game recognize us. So it definitely gives some interesting content, but different from how it started for sure. But yeah, there you go.
We, Tim and I gave it a go. We both come from sailing backgrounds, sailing tall ships, and it's a really fun, like the thing that I think caught both of us is you can't do everything on the boat as a single player. Yeah. Like you have to be talking to each other. Very similar to, well, you know, obviously different, but it has an echo with what it's actually like to be sailing. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if you can take us back to 10 years ago and what was the, what caused the formation of the Longest Johns? How big were the shanties in that sort of first inception and how big were the other influences? Can you tell us?
Yeah, for sure. So it'll be 10 years this June and take it back to the four original members. So myself, Andy, Dave, and a chap called Josh, who's no longer with us. He's not dead, but you know he's not in the band anymore. Then there is a big running joke that Josh is dead, but Josh isn't dead. We were just a group of friends all working for a performing arts charity near Bristol. We're all doing very different things. So I was playing in a band there. Josh was the groundskeeper. Andy was working in the recording studio and Dave was doing sound and lighting and stuff for them. And we were just a group of friends at a barbecue and had been discussing music we'd been listening to. And this was right around the time, shortly after Fisherman's Friends first kind of made their big break and everything and signed with Universal and whatnot.
Heave away, haul away.
South Australia, round Cape Horn, we're bound for South Australia.
Haul away, up rolling king.
Heave away, haul away.
Haul away, oh, hear me sing.
We're bound for South Australia.
So we kind of discovered it through that. We're like, oh, wow, this is really cool, and been listening to that. And shortly afterwards, Stan Rogers suddenly popped up on our kind of our radar, kind of just off the back of discovering that. I remember sticking on lots of Stan Rogers and Fisherman's Friend's Last FM random playlists and discovering loads of new music off the back of that. And yeah, so we'd all just been happening to listen to them, and we're like, oh, well, we're all together. Let's try one of the songs. Holloway Joe, that's easy enough. And South Australia, we can remember the words for that. So we gave it a bit of a go, sat in this back garden with loads of other people around eating food and whatnot. And we're like, oh, this sounds all right. Tell you what, I'll do the low bit, you do the high bit. You sing the melody and you do something else in between. We'll see how it goes. I'm like, oh, this sounds pretty good. And other people at the barbecue started listening. Like, oh, yeah, you guys can actually sing. That's really cool. So we went and sung at an open mic night that Josh had been running, which was happening that night. And everyone there was like, this is amazing. I remember one person, a friend of ours, stood up at the end of the song and was like, I need rum, and ran downstairs to the bar, got himself a rum. I'm ready for the next song. And that was it. So we had such a great time doing that. We're like, wow, there's so many other songs out there that we could learn and do. It's really great. So we did. And a week later, we recorded some videos in Josh's kitchen. We propped up a laptop on some books. We went up into his flat and found everything that looked old. I remember that being the discussion. Like, grab everything that looks old and we'll put it on the table. And it was in the middle of the workday as well. So we don't have beers in that video, if anyone wants to go and look it up. We've actually got cold water with tea bags dipped in to the point where it looks a bit like beer. Just like, yeah, we'll just go all out on it. And we sang a couple of songs in his kitchen. And that was kind of the start of pretty much everything for us, because those videos got spotted by some people down in Cornwall who invited us to one of the festivals there. And then that got us invited to Falmouth Shanty Festival, which is probably the biggest one in the UK. And off the back of that, we got invited to Be Dyke for the first time, because they were looking at who'd been singing at Falmouth, who they hadn't seen before. And we're like, these guys are new. They sound cool. We'll have them. And that was it. So from there, we've just been kind of doing loads of different festivals and shows and stuff like that off the back of those few little videos, and discovering more music and stuff along the way.
John, I was curious about, you mentioned your hometown of Bristol. And before we started the interview, you were telling me a pretty interesting story where you're walking to a folk festival in a very hard to find spot in Bristol. And at the same time, part of the city, well, you probably tell the story better than I would. So,
yeah, sure. So I'm not originally from Bristol, but from traveling around the UK and stuff, I definitely have become even more grateful for the place that it is, because it's such a unique and interesting and inspiring city to be. And my perfect Bristol day was many, many years ago, not too long after I'd actually moved here, actually. And we'd been booked to come and play at a folk festival here in Bristol. And for those who know it, there's a wonderful place called Park Street, which is one of the kind of main streets in the city centre on a massive hill. And about halfway up, down a very narrow corridor, in between just a bunch of other shops, leads down to this place called the Folk House, which is a really, really wonderful venue. And it's actually surprisingly big as well, considering how you get there. And they were hosting this folk festival. So we had to park kind of at the opposite end of town, because the half the city had been closed because of this. They were doing a Keep Sunday special thing where, like, once a month they would just shut half the city for a Sunday and basically turn it into a big street carnival with shop stalls and adventure and play stuff. And it was all really cool. So we had to park miles away because of that. So we had to walk halfway up, and then we get to the bottom of Park Street. There's this big green, and there's a huge Turkish festival going on there. So all these kind of beautiful colors and smells and stuff like that, and music and everything. I thought, oh, this is really cool. We carry on up Park Street, this massive hill in the middle of the city. And it was the day they decided to close the entire street and turn it into a giant water slide, because someone had been petitioning for it for years. And everyone was like, yeah. And the mayor was like, yeah, okay. So we're kind of working our way in between all these people queuing out for a water slide, get halfway up, go down this little narrow corridor, and there's our little folk festival happening. And for me, that was the perfect Bristol day, where there's just so many different people of different cultures and backgrounds and all sorts going on all the time. And it's all great and special. And yeah, that's always stuck in my head as like, yeah, this is what Bristol is and why it's special to me.
Now, I'm curious as well. I know Bristol, is famous for being sort of the home of drum and bass and jungle music. And as you were mentioning, also dubstep. So a lot of electronic music coming out of there. I know there's a big Caribbean population there too, and there's sort of a big carnival, I think, every year. But I was also curious with the nautical sort of history of Bristol. Was that something that you were sort of, does that sort of play into the consciousness of the Longest Johns being from there? Is that sort of incidental, or how does that all fit in?
I mean, we definitely didn't start doing it because of all of that. We discovered it through the music and hearing other bands and that sort of stuff and being inspired that way. But it's definitely been a big thing that we can lean on and learn from over the years. And has also been a massive benefit for like shooting loads of music videos and stuff as well. Because we basically run our own production company here with all the video stuff that we also do. So having this wonderful resource of people and places that we can go out to and visit and learn about and even be inspired for writing songs and stuff like that as well is definitely been a very big, big plus for us, I would say.
Very cool.
You have your own version of electronic music too with that chiptune album, which I'm not even joking, yeah, might be my favorite shanty album release of the last 10 years. That thing's awesome. How'd that come about?
I love it
so much. So I think we've actually released 4 albums in the last year, which is bizarre to think about, because Cures What Ails You came out in June 20. No, that was June 2020, actually, thinking of it. So what else did we do? We did Land Shanties. That was fun. So that actually came out because we were approached by Suzuki in Australia, saying, hey, we've got a cool idea for an ad. In fact, the guy who approached us, his kids were massive fans of us. And so it kind of inspired this idea of like, hey, we could do some shanty stuff for the car. And them and I can have an excuse to chat to the Longest Johns and work with them and be cool with my kids. So that's how that came about. And we thought it'd be a bit of fun. It actually surprisingly turned out pretty good. And I really like it. Then the chiptune thing. So that's something we actually toyed around with a bit before. Because Robbie, especially in the band, does lots of other types of music. So he actually works as like a producer, songwriter, and that sort of thing. With his wife, who does lots of top line writing, that sort of thing too. But he loves doing remixes and stuff like that. And had actually made several remixes of other songs that we'd done before in different genres and whatnot. And some of our fans and friends, actually, some of the moderators that we work with on Discord, had created some chiptune stuff for a bit of fun, which we'd use as like the intro for a lot of our streams. And then this kind of combination of ideas was like, oh, yeah, we could totally do that. That'd be really fun. The proudest thing of all of it, the name of that album makes me so happy. Commodore 1864.
Amazing. Oh,
give me the pun. But yeah, so it came about because we thought it'd be really fun and people had really enjoyed the chiptune stuff from the streams. And we thought, you know, another kind of new angle to try. And yeah, and we were very, very privileged to get to work with, again, one of our mods on Discord, Lucy Humphreys, who is a very, very talented musician and trumpet player and all sorts of stuff. She's actually responsible for all of the songbooks, because we don't use sheet music. We just listen to stuff and work out harmonies kind of on our own and everything. But she put all of our stuff written down. And kind of basically already had all the MIDI for all of the songs. So when we started working with her to put it together, it's like, yeah, I just got it already. Let's put some sounds to these, right? It came about. Yeah, there we go.
Awesome.
Should we do another song?
Let's go.
You had your guitar.
I do.
Ready.
I think I've just decided which one I want to do as well. Which I'm sure you'll know as a classic. But the wonderful song called Here's a Health to the Company. So before I sing it, I'd love to say a bit about it, just because it's been really, really special. This song has meant so much to me for a good few years now, because it is, I always see it as like this call to how special occasions can be and like the coming together of people, and for me shows are magic and getting to do the performance and whatnot, but like I was saying before, it's the people coming together that make it special, and every audience, every place you go is always unique, and there's something magic in that. And for me, this song has always been a kind of dedication to the people listening and the people experiencing it and us all being part of it together. So this is here's a health to the company, which is my tribute to everyone out there that loves this music. Kind friends and companions, come join me in rhyme. Come lift up your voices in chorus with mine. Come lift up your voices, all grief to refrain. For we may or might never all meet here again. Here's a health to the company, and one to my lass. Let us drink and be merry, all out of one glass. Let us drink and be merry, all grief to refrain. For we may a health to the dear lass that I love so well. For her style and her beauty, sure none can excel. There's a smile on her countenance as she sits on my knee. There's no man in this wide world as happy as me. Here's a health to the company, and one to my lass. Let us drink and be merry, all out of one glass. Let us drink and be merry, all grief to refrain. For we may ship lies at anchor, she's ready to dock. I wish her safe landing without any shock. If ever I should meet you by land or by sea, I will always remember your kindness to me. Here's a health to the company, and one to my lass. Let us drink and be merry, all out of one glass. Let us drink and be merry, all grief to refrain. For we may or might never all meet here again. Here's a health to the company, and one to my lass. Let us drink and be merry, all out of one glass. Let us drink and be merry, all grief to refrain. For we may or might never all meet here again.
Lovely stuff. Nice. Is that some Dadgad tuning I'm hearing as well?
Oh, yeah.
Nice and done.
I live in Dadgad.
Yeah.
And open D.
Yeah. Great stuff. Can you tell us a bit about that song? I know I've heard it, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah, sure. I first heard it thanks to the wonderful dulcet tones of Sean Daigle, singing it in Assassin's Creed Black Flag many years ago. It was one of the bar songs, and I remember hearing it in the game and being like, this is a damn good song. And also back in the early days of the band, us trying to find more things, listening to the Black Flag soundtrack. That was one of the first ones that really kind of connected and spoke with me. And I think was the first proper song with instruments that we ever did. We tried some stuff when we first started, then we ditched them for many years. And then I think that was the first one where I brought the guitar back on stage. And we actually did with an instrument as well. So yeah, it means a lot to me. And history-wise, I believe it's one of those ones that's in competition between Ireland and Scotland. Although I think Scotland wins with this one. About basically people leaving to move to the New World and stuff, and not knowing if they're going to see people again. So pretty much. And again, to me, it's that special thing of like, we're together. This is something important that should be remembered. We may or might never meet again, but yeah, that doesn't take away from the importance of those kind of times of coming together and the people that you know and that you've met and everything.
Yeah, it's got a bit of like a melancholy, bittersweet kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, so I've heard quite a few versions that are a bit more jolly. Even the one in Assassin's Creed is a little bit melancholy, but not anywhere near as much as that. But for me, it really had that sort of bluesy feel, just a little bit, at least within the words anyway, that kind of give it that mournfulness, but that kind of that passion that's there as well. So yeah, as soon as I started playing it that way, I was like, yeah, this feels right. And I kind of stuck with it and worked with it from there pretty much.
It makes me feel like there's a almost like a nostalgia for the present.
Yeah. That's a really great way to put it. Oh, right, I love like that. Amazing.
Well, we are going to bump up against time. But what's next for you and the Longest Johns?
I think the answer that we've always given for that is just more. I mean, we love what we do, and we do it because we love it. Again, I'd say we've been going for almost 10 years now. We never had any expectations to kind of like proper expectations to reach the point that we have, but we love it. And I think one of the things that I'm most keen about, I remember there was this wonderful phrase someone used when we were playing at a festival, back in my hometown. And we were chatting to someone over the kind of railing at the front of the stage, and he was saying like, I kind of discovered you guys, and you were pretty much a gateway drug for me into a wider world of folk music. And I love that description. It's obviously negative and kind of how it's there, but it's like, no, actually that for me fits a place I would love to be for the Longest Johns. Cause, there's so many other wonderful groups out there and so many people doing great things with the songs, and we love all of them. I remember when everything first kicked off, a couple of years ago, a year and a bit ago, there we go, time. I'd love getting messages and phone calls from other bands saying like, this is so cool, we've had so many people come and discover our stuff and listen to our things, we're really excited, we're going to record more things. And I was just like, yes, freaking yes, this is amazing, this is what it's about. And seeing more groups be inspired and more groups come together in the first place off the back of it, and more people discovering all of that wider world, is what I want for it. So as much as I love where things are for us, and I want it to grow, and I want to see more, I want to be more of that gateway drug for people to discover just how special shanty music and folk music is as well.
Are you able to talk about the upcoming tour at all, or is that still
Depending on release date. I think it should be announced this week or next weekend, but I'm pretty sure it's this week.
Let's face it, this isn't going out for another 2 to 3 weeks, so at least
happy days. So that means we've just announced a very, very big US and Canadian tour. So we had the joy of coming to the US for the first time in February. for a couple of weeks in the Northeast. But now we are in October and November. We're going to be starting in the Southeast of America, in North Carolina, working our way diagonally all the way up to Seattle, basically as far as you can go across the country, all the way down the West Coast in California for a bunch of dates, working our way back east, ending up with a few dates in Texas, before flying up to Toronto and finishing up in Montreal. So if anyone is anywhere near those places and wants to come and have a sing, a bit of a party, we would love to see you there. Yeah, it's going to be mad. That is one of the coolest things about seeing our audience, actually. And actually, a really cool thing about the audience between the UK and the US, they're exactly the same. we expected there to be some form of difference, but no. As soon as we got over there and first started doing the shows, it's like, these are the same people we know from the UK, and this is great. The accents may be different, but like, everyone is the same. And there is like that generation-spanning thing where if they allow kids in the venue, we've got all the way from kids all the way up to like 70-year-olds and stuff like that. And all these wonderful stories of like teenagers saying like, this music, like, I connected with my granddad for the first time properly over this, and we've both come to this show. And all that sort of stuff is amazing. Just seeing that range of people there is magic.
So on that note then, I'm curious to know, you know, lots of people listening to The Longest Johns, but who are you listening to lately? Like, where are you finding inspiration?
So we all very much find it in different places. We all have our own kind of musical tastes outside of shanty and folky stuff, some more varied than others. So I know Robbie and Andy very much like their metal. Dave very much likes his kind of old-timey jazz and bluegrassy sort of stuff. Andy's big into bluegrass actually as well, especially with his banjo playing too. For me, it's kind of a little bit all over the place. I first started getting into music properly through a singer-songwriter called Jack Johnson, who you may have heard of from years gone by, who I'm still a massive fan of. But he was basically the reason why I picked up guitar in the first place, and where I first found my voice as well, was like learning how to sing along with his stuff. Not many people know, I used to be terrified of singing. It used to be my absolute biggest fear in the world, and from teaching myself to play guitar and singing to Jack Johnson stuff, it's kind of how I learned to do it in the first place. And it took some very close friends of mine to discover that fact and then basically heavily encourage me to go and sing at an open mic night, for me to actually break free of that. But there you go. So, but all sorts of stuff. I'd say in terms of not shanty stuff, Radiohead are my favorite band. Closely competition with a Scandinavian band called Katzenjammer, who are awesome and weird and great. Sadly, they don't sing together anymore, but one of the best shows I've ever been to was hearing them live in Bristol. And super, super good. So yeah, I put them as top. Oh, and Decemberists actually as well, which I can thank my wife for, because I'd never heard of them before. And she's like, you have to listen to this band. And I'm glad she did that because, yeah.
You said there how you were terrified to sing. I always like to have stories like that on hand when we are doing something like we did last week, where we're getting a newish group of people together who may never have done social singing before. It's always good to have those kinds of stories there. You can say, hey, well, how about this guy, all kinds of success touring around singing for thousands of people, and guess what? They were terrified to do it and broke away and broke out of it. And
now he's cursed to be a folk singer forever.
Yeah, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I just like to be able to share the story. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it's, I think it helps encourage people.
And for folks who are just getting into it and might be toying with the idea of maybe I'll sing a song one day or even follow in the footsteps, what, any advice?
Do it and give it all of your heart. Like, we started because we fancied it. We thought this will be a bit of a laugh, and we gave it a go. We were sat in a public place, didn't really matter. We had some fun, and yeah, I mean, singing in general, one of the biggest things to kind of overcome is confidence. Like learning to have the confidence both physically and mentally. So learning the confidence in your own kind of body to be able to hit the notes and everything that you want it to hit, but also, yeah, very much that confidence in just doing it and giving it a go. And you only learn one with the other. So if you want to sing shanties, it's one of the easiest genres to start in. You don't have to know an instrument and stuff like that. In fact, a lot of people would say don't play an instrument in the first place anyway. So just do it. Sing along with recordings and give it your best go. And if you've got a group of friends to sing with, even better. If not, just sing your heart out and have a great time.
Amen.
And, you know, if the popularity is ever getting too much for anyone, they can always start a long-form sea shanty podcast, and that'll cure them of that.
It is so great. It is so great that you guys are doing this. It really, really is. Yeah, I have to admit, it's something we toyed around with the idea of doing and very quickly ran out of time to be able to do. So to see such great, wonderful people as yourselves doing it was such a big yes when we saw it happening. So
that's awesome.
Always let us know if there's anything we can do to support as well and get the message out, because we would love to see
tell all your friends. Thank you for joining us, man. I'm glad we finally managed to hook this up. I know you've been incredibly busy. I know you're also a new dad. We both had sons at around the same time back in January 2020. What a trip that is. But yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you making the time.
A real pleasure. Thank you for having me. And yeah, look forward to catching up with you guys soon. There we go. 25th of November at the Velvet Underground.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah. That's kind of like a metal bar.
Great.
But you know what? Actually, there's a fantastic spot just a couple blocks away called Drome Taberna, which is a friend of mine. He's like a big supporter of music, and it's really cool, like kind of Eastern European themed restaurant and place. So that might be a good little spot for an after party or something.
Fantastic. That sounds fun.
And congrats again on all the success. We couldn't be happier for you. I hope that comes across, because it's been really fun to watch it from here.
Thank you so much.
We'll give our best to the rest of the guys too.
Yeah we'll do. Yeah. Thanks a lot, everyone.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us again. Take note of the tour dates and schedules for the Longest Johns. They're going to be doing a big one. So hopefully a lot of people in North America get a chance to get out and see them. They would really love to see you. It's great to hear about how much they get out of their audiences and sharing the material. And that's it for this one. Thanks very much.
There once was a ship that put to sea, and the name of that ship was the Billy O' T. The winds blew hard, about it down, blow me pulley boys, blow.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go.
She had not been 2 weeks from shore, and down on her a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go.
Before the boat had hit the water, the whale's tail came up and caught her. All hands to the side, harpooned and fought her when she dived down below.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go.
No line was cut, no whale was freed. The captain's mind was not on greed, but he belonged to the whaleman's creed. She took that ship in tow.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go.
For 40 days or even more, the line went slack, then tight once more. All boats were lost, there were only four, but still that whale did go.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go.
As far as I've heard, the fight's still on, the line's not cut,
and the whale's not gone.
The weatherman makes his regular call
to encourage the captain, crew and all. Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the weatherman come to bring
sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tugging is done, we'll take our